Hello, friends. This is We Have Thoughts. We're talking about the 2014 Oscar Best Pictures. And today we're talking about Philomena. I am Joy.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Anna.
And welcome to our home.
Welcome to my home. Do you like my dress?
Had four Oscar noms, Best Picture, Best Actress for Ye Mudi Yench, Best Adapted Screenplay for Steve Coogan, and Jeff Pope, Best Original Score for Alexander Desplat. Four nominations, zero wins, right? This is Philomena. All right, what do we think?
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Me too.
I was not expecting to like it as much. I was like, okay, all right, this movie, fine. I took a note, and then I was like, I was like on the edge of my seat, like, what's going on? What's going to happen? The drama of it all.
The drama.
Yeah. And then I forgot that I had a, we'll get there, but I forgot I had a gift save from this movie. I didn't even know it was from this movie. When he can't find her, and she's like on the balcony, she's like, I'm just having a little cry. That's a movie. And I have one of those. I have it saved. I didn't know it was from this movie, though. But yeah, Philomena, kind of liked it.
Yeah, I had no expectations going in.
Same.
I really had no idea. I thought that peripherally I knew it was about her looking for a child, like her long lost child. I didn't know anything else. I thought it was going to be about like Steve Coogan being her son and them reconnecting.
Mm-hmm.
So this was way different than what I thought it would be. I really enjoyed it. And one of my notes says, was not expecting to cry on this post Emmys Monday.
Literally.
What did you think, Joy?
I also had zero. I had no concept of plot, no concept of nothing. But when the movie started, I was like, oh, he's going to be her son. And then surprise, he was not. Which, yeah, the story ended up way better. God, this is so... I know that, like... It was like light and happy, but it was also like really fucking sad because like what she had to go through and what the nuns put her and the other women through, like, but also like really it's just a testament to what kind of character, what kind of person that is, that like still remains like faithful and hopeful after all of this stuff. Like
I think the movie reflected that because it's going through stuff, but it's more or less happy jovial, and she is a happy person despite mm-hmm. everything. So I think that was a really good reflection of her.
Yeah, it was based around her. It was worked around her, and the story matched her.
I like how fast it moved. It was quick.
Yes.
No scene was wasted. No conversation was wasted. You know, everything was purposeful. I liked all that.
Like a nice clean cuts. 1 hour 30 minutes. Sometimes that's all you need.
That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Yeah, it was short. It was 90 something minutes. 98 minutes. Yeah. It was like.
Also, Rue, I wanted to go there, the English countryside.
God. So where's our English countryside?
Beautiful.
Here? Let's go, guys.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Let's go.
My second note is fuck the Catholic Church because the Catholic Church. I've spoken on this. God stole my voice.
Oh no.
You just said, what did you say right before that?
He knows I'm going to talk shit. I've talked about this many times before that I, you know, grew up Catholic and I'm no longer a practicing Catholic, or Christian for that matter. But I feel like as more time goes by, I become more disheartened and disenchanted with the Catholic Church. Like, my God, how many skeletons can you have? How many skeletons?
I'll ask a question because apparently it's a lot.
They'll keep coming.
Yeah.
It's endless.
Good Lord.
What? I did see a meme actually just yesterday that was like, I was raised in the Catholic Church, therefore I am no longer religious.
Pretty much.
And the amount of people I know, the everybody's very, and in particular with the Catholic Church, the people's relationship with Catholicism post being raised Catholic is so interesting, and there's so much like art and so much conversation and like books and stuff that's come out of that, and it's so, to me, it's so intriguing. I love knowing about that and learning about that, because I similarly have had, you know, a disillusionment with the church and a breaking off and not being in that anymore. But it's different because Catholicism is this whole very specific ritual that billions of people around the world for a long time have all done the exact same thing. And so it's not as varied as like whatever many like religions and different kind of Christianities that you have now.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting.
I think at least the people that I've spoken to and the things I've seen and how I personally feel is that there's something so comforting in the church, and that it's so steadfast in its belief that it's correct. And then the mass itself, it's the same every time. You know, you just interchange the readings and the songs. But other than that, you open on the same prayer, you end on the same prayer. It's, I don't know. Growing up, I found it so comforting. Like, when everything else is a mess, when I'm going through turmoil or whatever, I go to church and it's the same. I know what to expect. It felt welcoming. It felt like, okay, I know what I'm doing. Here, there is control.
And that's beautiful.
And I also love that, you know, if I were to go to church in Nebraska, as we were just talking about, like, it would be the same mass that my parents were attending in Texas. Or if I went to mass in another country, it'd be the same thing, the same readings. The only thing that's going to be different is the priest's homily, like what he decides to talk about, what his interpretations of the readings or what message he wants to send out for the day. That's the only thing that's going to be a little different. And I always found so much comfort in that. And then when you realize that it's just built on a house of lies and bullshit and deceit, and you're like, ew, I that was so comforting. But now I like don't even want to touch it. Like, it feels so gross to me now. Yeah, so tainted. God, don't take took my voice again.
Oh, no. Ma'am,
I'm sorry.
It's Sabbath.
It is Sunday. I apologize, sir.
What an interesting day to be talking about this movie. Speaking of tainted, that nun. Oof, I would have some words for that nun. Just like whatever the journalist was going to do, what he was doing. I just, the amount of control and the amount of like strength that you have to have in order to stay as composed and just stay as like steadfast in your belief as she did. God, I can't even imagine. Like,
I will never understand anyone, not just in Catholicism, but like anyone who will do terrible things to people to justify like the religious whatever. Like, it's common decency. Like, what? Like, I just don't, I can't wrap my brain around it. Like, you're doing it for a higher purpose, but like what you're doing is terrible. Like, can't you see that? I can't understand that. I can't do it.
Like, harming people on this plane, on this level, just like humanity wise. But they, you know, some people can't, they don't have that discernment. They don't have that distinction between like the spiritual or whatever. And then just like people that you see. And that's a problem. That's a problem. It's a big problem.
Again, I know I've mentioned this podcast before, yeah, but go listen to The Turning, The Sisters Who Left. It's about the sisters who were involved in Mother Teresa's religious order and their experiences and why they left the order. And really just about Mother Teresa and opening that jar of worms. But they talk a lot about how there's many instances of abuse from their head superior, the mothers of wherever they're at, their chapter. And it's because they're literally told, like, whatever comes from this person's mouth is coming, is the word of God, because they are the highest and the closest to God. So there's like this insane power that they have. And this one ex sister was talking about when she reached that that place. She had told herself over and over. She's like, when I get into a position of power, I will never abuse it because I've seen it done. And then I got there and I was like, I have this power. And I, what I say is law, and I can do. And she said, I found myself doing these things I didn't really agree with because I could. And because I had finally, after years of having no control, I had it. And she goes, and I let that get to me. And then I had to stop and be like, oh, this isn't what I want. This isn't who I am. And she had to pull back. And then she eventually left. And it's just, it's that control and that mind fuck of you have no control. And then suddenly they did. Anyway, go listen to it.
Yeah, sounds very cult-like to me.
Oh, very, very, very. But then also go watch Midnight Mass on Netflix. It is fantastic.
What is it?
I think you could do it, Crystal.
Really?
100%. There's not really a lot of jump scares. Like maybe one or two. It's so brilliantly done. And the villain in it is so, she's so fucking good. And she's so delicious. Like, she's one of my top five favorite villains of all time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because she did it so well. She's this, I don't know what her exact role is with the church, but she's basically like the assistant to the priest, and just the hate and the vitriol she spits out, but in the name of God. And like, she thinks she's doing it for the church, and it's so good that she doesn't even like see that what she's doing is wrong because
she's brainwashed.
It's so, so good. And yeah, Crystal, I really think you could do it.
Maybe just watch one episode and see if you can make it.
It's really not that scary. It's really more just like a powerful commentary on the church.
I do like to watch cult documentaries.
You are very educated.
They're very interesting to me. Yeah, I think this, back to Philomena.
Oh yeah, that.
Yeah, I think it was a good movie. It was a good ride. It was very well crafted. Everyone's really great. You feel his anger when he's mad. But then, you know, Julian just like, I think he says like, that's it, nothing. And she's like, it's nothing. I've lived this my entire life. You've known for a couple of weeks. Like, I've gone through this process. This is how I feel. This is happening to me. So let me deal with it how I want to deal with it. Yeah. When she said that, I was like, oh, yeah, that's true. He's so passionate because he's mad for her.
And because he's just, this is new news to him.
But it's not about him. It's about her. She went through. And so, but all those scenes are really great. Like, she's so cute.
With both of them.
When Judy Dench is at breakfast and she's telling to that Mexican chef, she's like, oh, we don't have a... She said, we don't have Mexican food or something like that. And then she's like, oh, we have Indian food. We have all the spices. Ooh.
She's so cute.
So sweet. She's, and then so to precious. See that turn where he sees that he's passed, and she's like, what's going on? Like, and then that he tells her, and that whole scene is really, she's so cute and sweet.
Yeah. The levels of that scene, like, yeah, where it starts and then where it goes and then.
And this coincides with what I was talking about earlier. Like, it's a smaller movie. It doesn't require too much acting gymnastics. But because these two are so good, it feels great.
Yeah.
Flip side with Nebraska, like, it's so dense and small that they need good actors to elevate that, to fill that space. And these two, Steve Coogan and Judy Dench, did great jobs.
If it was anybody but Judy Dench, I feel like it probably wouldn't have been nominated for as much.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because she elevated it.
A Harvey Weinstein production, and he loves to get his movies in there. So
my first note is Weinstein Company. Ew.
Oh, yeah, gross. That.
But no, that moment where we find out that her son is dead, I thought, oh, okay, I know where this story is going now. Like, it's gonna wrap up with her meeting Peter Herman, his lover, and kind of learning about his life, and that'd be it. But then when we get to that part at the end where we find out that he went looking for her, and he was there, like, I'm going to cry again, and I've got goosebumps all over. Like, he wanted to see her. He wanted to meet her, and they kept it from her. Like, at that point, who's harming? It's not harming anybody.
Yeah.
But that grudge that that nun was holding of these impure women and these sinners, like, so gross. And the fact that nobody else...
All the other nurses around her didn't say something.
Who were compliant.
All of you.
Because what she says is the word of God.
Again, I don't understand. Like, it's common decency. Like, I can't wrap my brain off. I can't do it.
Especially if, like, he came all this way to the pilgrimage back to his home. And he made an effort to, like, be connected to his culture and to who he was. And he wore the pin and everything. Like, he knew and he really wanted that. And they kept that away from her.
Yeah, every aspect of the movie where you thought, like, any lesser movie, you'd think, oh, this is going to be a big deal. This is going to happen. It flips it on its head.
Yes. Every time I thought something was going to happen, it was like, just kidding. It's getting better.
Very well crafted.
It was very well written. So I'm interested. I would be interested to read the book and see.
Yeah, so Steve Coogan and Jeff Pope, great job. You deserve the nomination for sure. Because,
I too am interested in the book.
Yes.
And I'm kind of hoping that maybe the book will touch on the other stories and, like, the bigger cover-up. But I think what's so great about movies like this that do it right is that even the smaller parts are played by great actors. Because we had, I'm going to fuck up her name,
Wumi Musaka.
Okay, I can't read my writing. I couldn't tell if that was a U or, like.
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah, I was like.
I only know because I heard her name. Yeah, Wumi Musaka.
I think she's fantastic. Michelle Fairley is in it from Game of Thrones fame. Peter Herman, who is fantastic and beautiful and wonderful. and then Mare Winningham, who's also just a fantastic actress on her own. She had that ridiculous hair.
Who was that?
His sister, the little girl that they also adopted.
Oh yeah,
she's one of those that, like, she kind of pops up in other things. You're like, oh, she's fantastic.
That's the career I want. They're like, yo, that girl, she's in that movie and in that movie and in that movie.
There you go.
Yeah, I honestly think they cast Judi Dench and they were like, do you want to be in this movie with Judi Dench? I'm like, yeah, whatever it is, I'll do it.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like to me.
Mm-hmm. And Steve Coogan, he also has quite a reputation.
Coogan is great.
Yeah, so put those two names, and it's like, yeah, sure, I'll volunteer. You don't even have to pay me.
Whatever it is, one line in the background.
I'll be the horrible nun. It's fine. I don't care. I get to meet Judi Dench? Yeah, let's do it.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine meeting Jane Judi Dench?
I bet she's wonderful.
I would be so nervous of saying her name wrong.
And you know we would all fuck it up, even knowing the one in front of us messed up, we would all mess it up.
I would just call her Dame.
And it, like, we see her and they're like, okay, we're gonna go take you to meet her. And in our heads it's like, Judi Dench. And then we get to her, we're like,
Jane Judi Dench.
See, but that's more acceptable than duty.
The story behind it. And I think she'll think it's funny. I have a feeling.
I would hope so.
I have a feeling that she's cool. I don't know. I just, like, after I saw her do those TikToks with her grandson, I was like,
oh, those were so cute.
I think she's cool. I think she gets it.
Yeah. Also, what a range that woman has. She's so fantastic. Like, Homegirl got nominated for an Oscar for playing a bitch in, like, two scenes in Pride and Prejudice. Like, get it.
That's baller status, man.
Yeah.
Baller status.
Yeah.
Get it.
She was delicious.
So, yeah, I think Philomena, I'd recommend it.
It's a very good movie.
It's on Netflix right now, everybody.
It's so much more complex than I would have thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was just like, oh, cutesy movie. And then I was like sobbing on the couch.
Especially because the description on Netflix says feel good. I was like, oh okay, great. It's going to be.
I'm going to feel good until I don't.
Feel good about what?
About her son's life and, like, his life with his partner. And, like, he was able to, like, go and make a name for himself and everything. And it's just like.
Also, I love her reaction to him, you know, being gay. She was like, okay, yeah, and
she's like, I knew
it wasn't a big deal.
Love it.
She's like, I knew when he was a boy. And then also the fact that Steve Coogan's character had met him briefly, like,
yeah,
just how small the world is.
Oh my god, I know.
That's insane.
Never mind.
When I heard that he said that, I was like,
I know the same reaction she had. She was like, you knew him?
Girl, So good.
So riveted. Yeah. Literally on the edge of your seat, mm-hmm. wanting to know the story, needing to know more. Like,
literally, I was on the couch, like, kind of halfway laying down. I was like, all right, I got to do my homework. And I'm like, oh. I'm like halfway sitting up, leaning in. Like, this is good. This is getting real good.
I know, same. I thought it was like, oh, I'm going to fall asleep like I did with Nebraska. I did not.
Do you have any last thoughts on Philomena?
I really like that quote, the where I think it was when she asked, I don't know who asked who, but someone asked, do you believe in God? And then they answered, I always thought that was a very difficult question to give a simple answer to. And that's probably the best I've heard that.
Yeah.
The best response I've heard to that question. Because it really, that's a really, like, that's a nuance and a very complex answer for a lot of people. For some people, it's really easy. But for a lot of people, it's very, very layered.
Truthfully, like, yeah, truthfully, that's not a yes or no question, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, some people are, they're very decisive in what they know and what they think and how they think it. So,
because they're blind.
So some people, no, I think just some people with their history with like religion or faith or whatever, they just know what they want and what they are. And some people, their relationship is a lot more complex with it.
Yes, complex. It's easier than it's not just a straight up yes or mm-hmm. no. It's there's so much more to both those answers. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I think it's ranking time. Or do we want to go through the
nominations? Oh, the nominations, yeah.
Oh, we knew that last time.
We said they weren't great, you know. That's fine.
Please. Okay.
I think people can infer our opinions.
Yeah. Okay. Original score.
That score was so.
It was cute. Great. I liked it.
It was cute.
I don't remember it honestly.
I do think the right one, Gravity one. So I agree with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Adapted screenplay. Yeah. I didn't read the original text, but I'm gonna say yes.
Because of how clean and tight it is. I agree.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. They got everything that they needed to get out of there and gave us the full story.
Yeah. So I should have won. I haven't seen 12 Years of Slave yet, so...
We'll let you know at the TBD. End of the series.
Series.
Lead actress.
Yang
Judy Dench.
Judy Dench.
I feel like she's a safe choice.
Huh?
I feel like she's a safe choice, but it's not wrong.
Correct. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a great
great way to put it.
Synopsis.
We could have put what's his name? Supporting actor.
Steve Coogan?
Or was he lead actor? That would be lead, right?
I don't know how. I don't know the rules.
That would have been whatever they decided.
They decided to put him forth.
I would have put him in there. He was good.
He wouldn't have won because we know the trajectory of the story of Jared Leto and Matthew McConaughey. But
those bitches.
He would probably have a better chance in supporting actor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Also, because he's a comedy guy, they're probably not as willing to give him his recognition was the screenplay.
Yeah.
I feel for them.
Yeah, for sure.
He did great. All right.
Yeah, best picture. I agree.
Yeah.
Sure.
That's good.
I have no problem with it being there.
Me neither. But considering all the ones that we've seen so far, yeah, it's sort of in there. Which brings us to our ranking.
Which goes us
to
the ranking.
I have my list first, so I'm going first. At the bottom, Dallas Buyers Bitch. Secondly, American Bitch. Third,
they're the same.
What is it? Kokomo, Nebraska. and then Captain Phillips, and then Philomena.
Not Captain Bitch?
No. and then Philomena, and then her, and then Gravity.
Okay. Sorry. No, go ahead.
So at the bottom, number 7 is Dallas Buyers Club, 6 is American Hustle, 5 is Nebraska,
hey.
4 is Philomena, 3 is Captain Phillips, 2 is Her, and 1 is Gravity.
Mine is number 7 at Dallas Buyers Club, 6 is Nebraska, 5 is Captain Phillips, 4 is American Hustle, 3 is Philomena, 2 is Her, and 1 is Gravité.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Joy and I have the same top 3.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Honestly, the Dallas Buyers Club is always going to be at the bottom. And then
American Hustle, Nebraska can flip flop. It really wouldn't matter.
We flip flop on this podcast.
We do.
When it comes to our rankings.
Or tortillas.
Okay, we'll be back next time to talk about The Wolf of Wall Street.
Ooh, to be continued. A teaser for next time.
Time for that.
Hold on to your butts, people. Bye. What?
Oh, bye.
Gee, Crystal, you just gave me a look like, what?
Okay, bye.
Oh, bye.
Sorry.